It's almost like we kind of have second home, I think. Like, if my cousins in Korea heard me say that, they probably don't think that I'm, like, Korea is my home. They think I'm, like,
but
so Aussie.
But it's just familiar.
But to me, yeah, we have this, like, strong connection because that they would never understand.
Yeah, because that is their home.
That is their home. Yeah. But because there's so many things, like, that draw us to it, like the language, the food, the family. Yeah.
Like, I think I romanticize it more than...
For sure, me too.
My relatives actually live there. They're just living their lives.
Welcome to the Asian Soup Podcast.
This is your co-host, Jules.
And this is your co-host, Rox.
The Asian Soup Podcast is your cozy space on the internet where we share and discover stories about one another.
We chat about a range of topics, some serious and some not so serious.
Come sit with us and get nourished. I don't know why, but I'm really giggly.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like sometimes when we do those intros, I don't know. Like,
it's just normal to us now.
I know. I'm just so good at it.
Nourished.
And we're like, and it's just so natural. Yeah. And I'm just like, this is just so funny. I don't know why.
It's like we're a presenter somewhere, but we're not.
And it's weird because we've done it for quite a while now, and even just our operating rhythm, like me and Rox,
let's go.
Yeah, podcast episode, yep, boom, 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 like get an episode out straight away. And
yeah,
I feel like we're seasoned.
Anniversary.
We should know this.
I know, but I feel like it's not 2 years yet, but it could
don't tell
be
me
soon.
It's past.
I think it's would be September, would be two.
Okay. We need to do something. Maybe we can go traveling somewhere.
Like this topic, maybe. I do want to...
We always talk about it.
I know. I do want to do like...
Bali.
I don't know. Yeah, something would be
Asian
fun.
Soup
No, but sometimes
trip.
I'm like, I was looking at you and Ryoto's camping trip. I'm like, oh, that'd be so fun. But
yeah,
I'm so not a seasoned camper.
It's okay. I will do the driving. You can do the cooking. We'll split roles.
That would be fun.
That would be really fun. Yeah, something to think about.
Yeah.
Today's episode, we are talking about travel.
Yes.
And I don't know. I was like, oof, am I qualified to speak on this topic? Because I don't feel like I'm a widely traveled person.
Mm.
But I think as we talk about it, we'll be able
to
share some things. How about you, Rox? How do you feel?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, whether you travel domestically or back to a home country or with friends, I'm sure everyone has some travel stories. Yeah.
And, you know, I like to always remind us and our listeners and viewers that we are in our mid-30s.
Yeah.
So there is there's a lot that happened that we forget that happened in our 20s.
Yeah.
So we can, you know, use this opportunity to reflect and dig up some of those old
travel memories. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So firstly, what are some travel tips or hacks or go-tos or kind of maybe not traditions, but things you always will do first or when you're packing or traveling or, yeah, what's like your thing when you're traveling? Mm. Everyone has their own thing, I feel.
Mm.
Things.
I think I'm not a natural like traveler, like a last minute person.
Okay.
I'm stressed when I'm traveling because I do everything last minute. I don't have a really good checklist. I leave everything to the end. Mm. And I think a lot of this is because I usually always go back like to Korea, like which is my motherland, because you're always going back to your, you know, family's place in your motherland, your mother country. It doesn't require like a lot of planning.
True.
So it was really like in my early 30s, I realized, holy moly, like if you're going to a foreign country, there is so much more to think about when you're packing, like language stuff or money, cash, you know, withdrawing, like how are you going to pay for things and, you know, all those things like I learned a bit later in my life.
Yeah.
So I think like in my 20s, I wasn't a very good traveler and had zero tips. But I think because I am more mature, a little bit more seasoned, I have more like tips up my sleeve. And I think the first tip would be don't leave things last minute, obviously, and start early. Start everything early. If I told you this, like I want to go Europe this year.
This year, yes.
And that's like mid-June, July. I want to try and do a trip then. And I already
feel... You need a book.
I haven't booked yet. And I already feel like I should really like start. Like, and I'm putting it off a little bit, to be honest. But as soon as I book, I even want to start packing like early. Mm. Like I want to start packing early, thinking about everything early, even though I haven't booked yet. But that's sort of like my tip. Start everything early. It's almost like as soon as you've decided you're going to travel there, the traveling has already started.
Yeah, I like that. I like the, early, plan a bit earlier. I guess they're good tips. And I hope to hear about your booked trip soon.
Yes, please ask me if I have booked it yet because I've been really putting it off. But it's, again, it's tricky because if you haven't been before, you don't know like which order to go to which countries.
It's just, there's so many different ways to do that. I don't know, I haven't been to Europe in years, but in my mind, I think the easiest would be get a return trip to either London or Paris and then get your trips around there.
I think,
but I'm sure other people do it differently, like, oh, you can, fly into London, then fly back from Germany or whatever. Like it's really... Or you have, your mom's a travel agent.
Yeah.
So she can help you. Like that you can do multi-trip things. So, you're in great hands. So she can get you a good deal.
It's scary to make decisions sometimes, you know. But that's a great tip.
Yeah.
Return flight.
One of the ways. Because sometimes it's maybe cheaper if you just return. But then you have to somehow get back to that place.
Yeah. How about you?
What tips do I have? I'm pretty similar to you where growing up I went back to Hong Kong a lot. So then we used to, I don't know, all our bags were just stuffed with like gifts or souvenirs really. So it wasn't
honey.
Random stuff. And then
sheepskin.
It's more about like shopping over there and bringing it back. So I don't know. And then growing up it was like my parents packing more. But I'm like a... get to the airport and be early type of person because I'd rather hang out at the airport for like the extra hour or half an hour than worry. Yeah, that's me. And then
I've become that person as well. Yeah. Even half an hour seems a bit short.
Yeah. I know that like people who travel a lot, sometimes I think they leave it quite, because they travel so much for work or something and then they leave like no time. But I'm like, nah, that would stress me out. But yeah, any tips? I don't know. I'm not like the type of person to, I don't have like special compartments or anything. I'm just like, I don't know. I guess one thing that I do is like I keep all my clothes in like a huge sack kind of bag. Like I fold it all and put it in a big bag or like a compartment in my suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm always over. Not over, but everything weighs so much, like especially your skincare and stuff. Like it's just hard. I don't know. I don't really have many tips. I don't have any tips for traveling.
It's hard.
Everyone travels so differently.
I have, and it also depends on where you're going. And it really depends on where you're going.
Mm.
Because if you're going to a place that needs like visas and that kind of thing, then there's so much more work involved.
Yeah.
And then there's like, if you go back to your mother country, for example, you really can go empty handed. Like I don't even get travel insurance or anything like that when I go to Korea.
Yeah.
Do you get travel insurance when you go back to Hong Kong?
No.
I didn't even know travel insurance was a thing.
Yeah.
Like, cause I've never paid for it. And then when someone asked me if I'm getting travel insurance when I was going to Hawaii, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Like Googling, why do I need travel insurance?
Yeah. I don't usually get that unless I'm going somewhere really quite foreign.
Mm.
I don't know. Yeah. That's probably a tip we need to learn.
So, we briefly mentioned just before that we go back to a mother country. My motherland is Korea, South Korea, and Rox is Hong Kong.
Mm.
And I don't know, like, I think I've been to Korea about, I can't count, maybe, I think it's like times. 6 or 7 times in my head, but yeah. I think it's probably over 10. I don't know. I really can't count at this point, but I go back, not often, but I do go back, like, since I was little, I would go every, like, few years kind of thing. Yeah, I just thought it would be interesting to chat about it because, I don't know, like, going back to your motherland, it is still travel. But it's also like not really travel at the same time because it's almost like your second home.
Yeah.
Like there's something about going back to your mother country and you look like everyone has black hair. You understand the language and it's familiar. You've got family there and you have memories there as well. Like, oh, when I was little, I hung out with these cousins, at least for me. So it's very nostalgic and... Yeah, I remember like when I was younger, I would just go there to see family. But as you get older, like in your 20s and 30s, you see your family less and you do more travel.
Yeah.
So it's like doing the sightseeing and going to the tourist spots, maybe going to, I don't know, the cool spots, like the cool cafes. And I remember that was always like a point, not a point of tension, but I always felt torn. It's like, I really want to do these like touristy things, but I also need to see my family. Like I need to see my grandpa. That's so hard. Do you know what I mean? And like people would be like, oh, where should I go when I go to Korea?
Yeah.
But honestly, like.
You're like, I don't know.
I just saw my family. But I think like in my later 20s, I definitely knew, or not late 20s, but in 20s in general, like I was way more familiar with the
exploring
out, where to hang out, you know, when you're, where the young people go, for example. So, yeah, I think always think like, I don't know, going back to Korea, it's travel, but not really. And I think because I've done that overseas travel, I think that I can travel to other places, but that's a whole other story, right? Like,
but you can.
You can, but it's so different. Like,
it's not as easy.
Yeah, like with Australia, like Sydney and going to Seoul, there isn't much jet lag. I mean, there's no jet lag. There's no time difference.
Oh, there's no time difference?
It's like 1-2 hours max.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so when I went to Hawaii for the first time and I experienced jet lag, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why do I feel so shit? Like it wasn't just tired. It was like I feel really like
not okay
right now. But yeah, I think like... Going back to Korea, it's like travel, but not travel.
Yeah, like, but you still get excited, but not as excited. Like, I don't know what it is.
It's different. I don't know. It's like you still get that excited feeling when you're at the airport and all that. Yeah. But when you, I think it's like any place, if you travel, you keep traveling too. If you go a lot,
visiting family or something. It's not, like it's special, but it's not like... A new place. Yeah, like you said, it's like a second home.
Yeah, yeah. How about you? Like, do you have any memories going back to your...
Yeah, I think it's very similar for me where, it just feels like going back to my second home. And then when I was little, because my dad worked at an airline, so we got cheap tickets.
Oh, really?
And then we would just go every year, like every year. Sometimes we would go just for like 5 days or something because there was someone's wedding and then we'd come back because it was so cheap for us. So we'd go a lot, like, once a year or every 2 years. And I have a lot of relatives there. So when I go back, it's like you have to do the rounds.
Yes.
You know?
This auntie, that auntie.
You have to
auntie.
Do the rounds, see everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sometimes me and my mom would want to keep shopping. Or do something, like just keep shopping or doing our own thing or like go eat something that she missed from her childhood or something. But then it's like we have to rush back because some aunties have started dinner early and it's time to for her to like play mahjong and catch up with them or something. And she's like, oh, I don't want to go back and play mahjong. Like, can't, can't my dad go? But then it's like, because it's his side of the family and then it's like, oh, so we have to go kind of thing like that.
Yeah,
and then it's like, oh, okay. And But the thing with Hong Kong is it's so small, so there's only like so much you can do. It's not like South Korea where it's like, you know, you could go to like a whole other area. Like there's so many different, it's like a whole country, right? Like it's huge, whereas Hong Kong's like a tiny island. So there's still a lot to do, but you can't go get that far away, if that makes sense. Mm-mm. Like it's all just different areas and stuff. I would still be excited and I would be sad to leave because I felt like that it was my roots and kind of like, I don't know, it was just like my family, extended family. And I think when I was little, I was more sad to leave. But then yeah, I had that period where I actually lived there. So yeah, I don't know. It's just like very familiar. Like you go back and you're like, oh, okay, we're back, you know?
Yeah, it's almost like we kind of have second home.
Yeah.
I think like if my cousins in Korea heard me say that, they'll be like, they probably don't think that I'm like Korea is my home. They think I'm like,
but
so
it's
Aussie.
Just familiar.
But to me, yeah, we have this like strong connection because like that they would never understand.
Yeah, because that is their home.
That is their home. Yeah. But because there's so many things like that draw us to it, like the language, the food, the family. Yeah.
Like I think I romanticize it more. Then
for sure, me too.
My relatives actually live there. They're just living their lives there. But to me, when I was growing up, I was like, wow, like I would think it's so cool and probably why I moved there in the first place. But then after I lived there, I'm like, it's still cool, but it's actually not. It's still just like everyday life in a different place, you know? It's like exciting, but not as, it's not like, sometimes it doesn't feel like a real holiday.
Oh, yeah. Because it doesn't feel like a holiday. It
doesn't feel like I relaxed and I saw something new, completely new, and was immersed in a different culture to my own, because it's your own culture. So you fully understand it and you can speak it, but you're not a local, but you're still that person.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're still a Korean person. I'm still a person from Hong Kong. Like,
yeah
it's not like, oh my God, this is completely new. Like, yeah.
I think that's what it is. I think that's what I was trying to articulate. Yeah. Like, you're going back. It's like physically you're in a new place outside of your home. Yeah. But it's not a holiday.
It's not that relaxing.
It's not that relaxing.
You don't have that much time to yourself. No. You might have like half a day to yourself or something.
Yeah.
Every day you're like visiting certain people.
Yeah. But you're also, you can still get culture shock. Like, it's still.
Yeah, you can.
There's still a moment of, oh, whoa, like I am a foreigner.
Yeah. Yeah. But and also like you wouldn't be staying at a hotel. Like you'd be staying at a family's place or something. Well, but
that started to
older,
change. Yeah. That started to change for our family lately. But yeah, I know what you mean.
I think there was one time before I moved there, like I did stay on my own at a hotel. And I think my aunties were like, Why are you staying at a hotel by yourself? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
and then,
weird.
But I just, because I wasn't with my parents and I just wanted my own space and wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. And then just wanted my own privacy, you know, your own room and stuff. But yeah, it was kind of weird. But
I think, so last year I went to Korea for a month and initially I stayed with my auntie.
Yeah.
But I couldn't live. Like, I just couldn't stay with them, like, mentally. And because I was working from their place too.
Mm.
And it was just, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I actually moved out and found a place. And I thought it was a little bit rude to just move out. But I came up with an excuse. And I know that because they were like, oh, how much is it? Like, they were saying it's all cool. But they'll be like, oh, how much is it? Like, where are you going?
Yeah.
Like, they were very funny about the money. They're like, how much did it cost? Oh, that's not that cheap. Or I'm like, no, it's cheap. Like, and I put, you know, put the number down a little bit and stuff like that. But yeah, I think like that was a new experience for me, getting my own place and being able to explore the country outside of my auntie's home without their supervision, even if I'm in my
30s. Yeah,
Because that's what happens when you're in your auntie's place. They'll message you.
When are you going to come
home? When are you coming home?
Dinner?
Yeah, they're your second mom.
Yeah. So you're like, oh, like wanted to do my own thing. But yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, going back and having my own place, yeah, that was a really different and felt more like a holiday for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got a little quiz here called Are You and Your Friend a Perfect Travel Duo?
Okay, let's do it.
So I'll read a question and there's A, B, C. And then after three, we can say the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one, planning preferences.
Mm.
How do you and your friend feel about planning a trip? A, planning, love planning every detail. B, prefer a loose itinerary. C, happy to go with the flow.
One, two, three. B.
Okay. Let's call that one point then.
Yeah.
Budgeting habits. How would you describe your and your friend's approach to travel expenses? A, carefully budget every dollar. B, moderate spending with occasional splurges.
Mm.
C, money is no object when it comes to experiences. Wait, hang on, let me think about this.
One, two, three.
C. B. Okay. I was thinking B.
Yeah.
B or C.
Yes.
But lately I'm feeling a little bit C. So three, adventure level. What type of activities are you both drawn to during travel? A, thrilling adventures like hiking and extreme sports.
Mm-hmm.
B, mix of exploration and relaxation. C, prefer cultural experiences and local cuisine.
That's hard. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. One, two, three.
B
and C.
Yeah. No, yeah. B and C. Me too, B and C. Okay, four. I think this one's quite important.
Okay, go.
Accommodation preferences.
Okay.
What type of accommodation do you and your friend prefer? A, budget-friendly hostels or camping. B, mid-range hotels or Airbnb. C, luxury resorts or boutique hotels.
Okay, one, two, three.
B. Five, communication styles. How do you and your friend handle communication during the trip? A, detailed daily itineraries and constant updates. B, regular check-ins but flexible with plans. C, minimal planning, go with the flow and communicate as needed.
I think it's really similar to the first question.
Yeah, it's more the first question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe last one. Decision-making dynamics.
Okay.
When faced with decisions during the trip, how do you and your friend typically decide? A, plan together and decide mutually. B, take turns making decisions. C, go with whoever has a stronger preference.
One, two, three.
C?
A or C?
I think A would be nice, but I think I kind of go with C. Like if you have a really strong
feeling. Like, yeah. Sometimes I just don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like we're kind of we're compatible.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't see any issues.
Yeah. I think, yeah. Because Rox and I, we've always talked about, oh, let's go here together. Yeah. Let's go there together. We can do Asian Soup podcast trip.
Yeah. That'd be so fun.
Yeah.
We can try. We can try.
Mm-hmm. I think this quiz is like, it's good to have, like it's good to do these sort of things when you're about to travel with somebody.
Yeah.
Because like you hear about so many travel horror stories and like friendship breakups and stuff like that. Gosh. And I can so see how it can happen. Like if two people have different like goals for when they're traveling.
Some people are so different when traveling.
Yeah, some people, like, you know, you might have one person who really wants to party,
yeah,
and another person who just wants to eat really yummy food.
Yeah.
And, like, go to all the restaurants and they book all these places. And, you know, if it doesn't match and you don't realize from the beginning of the trip, it can get, you know, they're just examples, right? But you can still see it happening, like, if you have different goals.
Yeah.
That's why I always, like, now I'm like, what's your purpose for this trip? Like, what do you want to get out of it? I try to align beforehand, because if you're not on the same page from the start, it's like, oh, it's going to be hard to
travel together. Yeah.
It's like one person's going to maybe not get the trip that they wanted.
But hopefully, definitely figure that out first.
Yes. What about you, Rox? Have you had any fun travel experiences lately or you can remember? Maybe not lately, but
I feel like I haven't been anywhere lately. Like, I feel like a lot of my travel was when I was that year away in Europe.
Mm.
I did a lot then. So I really hope that, but back then I was like a poor student. So it's like a completely different experience than if I went now. So yeah. And then, I don't know, I guess the last few years I've been more around Asia maybe. Yeah, but I think when I was in my early 20s, I went to Brazil and South America and like Argentina. So that was like, that was really probably one of the coolest trips I've been to because it was just so different. And I was like doing it cheap as well because I was so young. But yeah, that was really like culturally, it was a shock. Because it wasn't English, the food was so different, like the culture was so different. It was kind of exciting too because it was a little bit dangerous and we came into some like sketchy things. But
how old were you?
I think I was 20. 20.
Wow.
Yeah. So
really young.
Really young. I was like, went for 3 weeks or something. So yeah, that was really fun.
Who did you go with?
I went with a friend back then and yeah, it was like a good guy friend. And it was kind of good because it was kind of sketchy. Like, I can't imagine going. I don't know how it is now. Maybe it's safer now. But I can't imagine just going with one girlfriend to South America. Like, I think you need some boys with you just for some protection, I reckon. I don't know. I maybe that's like a stereotype, but like honestly, people's things were getting stolen from, like, I stayed at hostels and stuff. Like, yeah, there's like people carry guns there. Like, it was very foreign. Like, you know, when you go somewhere and you're like, I have absolutely no idea what's gonna happen, like, it's kind of like that. So
wow.
Yeah, or if you're going with a group, I think it's fine. But then, or if you're going when you're older and, you know, you're staying at a nicer hotel and it's safe, I think that's also fine. But yeah.
Wow. So it was like your most fun, rememberable trip is like
I guess the most adventurous.
Adventurous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because like I've been to Japan, like I love Japan and it's like the food's so yummy and everything like that. But I feel like it's so well documented. Do you know what I mean? Like, people go there all the time.
In Japan?
Yeah. Mm. Like, there's so many travel, like, especially people in Hong Kong love going to Japan. Mm. So there's always like, and there's Japanese food here. It's kind of like, you know a lot about it in a way.
Mm.
Or you know a lot of people who have been there. Similar to Europe, like, you see it a lot in travel shows and same, yeah, kind of like that.
Right.
But whereas South America was like a bit more random. Like, you don't see it.
Yeah.
That often.
Yeah.
It's so far away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even picture it right now.
Yeah. Like, there's no shows that we watch that film there or anything like that. So, yeah, that's probably like the most strangest place.
Mm.
Yeah. How about you? Or memorable?
Memorable and adventurous. If we're going down that vein, I think. Let me think. I think any experience where I stayed in hostels, like I stayed in hostels in my early 20s. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like we're more gutsy. Like, we're on a budget.
You're on a budget.
But I've stayed in hostels like by myself. Maybe like when I was in Japan, I think I'm just really on a budget. So you're just trying to find the cheapest thing.
Mm.
And I always find those experiences really memorable. Like being in a room with all these other people.
Yeah.
And it's just you.
Yeah.
You know, like the hostel experience is very unique.
Yeah. Like you have to do it when you're young. You're not going to do it when you're older. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
But I think the most sort of adventurous one might be when I went to Vanuatu.
Oh.
Because I have a friend who lives there and long story.
Wow.
Yeah. But I missed my flight.
Okay.
To Vanuatu. And then because my passport was expired. Okay, there's another travel tip. Make sure your passport expired.
Seriously, before you travel. It happens to so many people and and it's like, it sucks because it's like you think that's something you would check, but then it just sucks because you didn't think of it.
Yeah, I'm getting like hot thinking about it. But yeah, definitely check your passport, especially if you get it renewed every 10 years. It just comes up really quickly.
Oh my god! Because
I noticed it when I was on the train to the airport and I was trying to check in online.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't let me. Gosh. And I looked at the date and I was like, no. I was like, righto, can you look at my passport?
That's a huge tip. Like, check it 6 months in advance.
Honestly, you shouldn't even need a tip for that. It's, oh, I don't know.
No, but it happens to people all the time.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
I feel like it happens a lot.
Okay.
And it's, you just don't think of it because you think it's,
it's someone else's story, someone else's passport, you know. You don't think it'll happen to you.
Yeah.
And it does. Anyway, so I missed my flight and I had to like run to the embassy, get my photo taken, and I got on the next flight. But for one night, I had to stay over at like this other isle, on this other island. Mm. And it's just, you don't know what, it's the, you don't know what, you know, to what, expect.
Like, what is this? Yeah.
And, you know, the airport's like small and it's like less developed, I guess. And I got into a cab.
Oh my God. It's so scary getting into a cab
at night
from in a foreign place.
Really, really foreign place.
And you feel like, am I screwed? Like, are they going to just take me? Especially as a girl.
I think because my friend who lives there assured me it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I felt safe.
Okay, good.
Right. And then I got into the cab, but you know, there's always that part of you that I'm still a girl.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a local here.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got off the taxi, got to my hostel and, oh no, it was like hotel or hostel. I can't remember. Yeah. I think it was a hotel or motel. I got my own room. I went to the lobby and I was trying to like check in and it was pretty late. And there was this guy who came inside, he followed me, and then he's like, he pretended to do his shoelace. So he was like squat, like he was down, right? He's doing his shoelace. So the person in the lobby the concierge can't see him.
Yeah.
So it's only me who can see him, right? Because it's behind the table, the shelf.
Yeah.
And he looks up at me.
Yeah.
And then he's like, does the money sign.
Yeah.
And he's basically saying like, I'll pay you for sex kind of thing. Like, that's what the sign that he was giving me. He's like, and then he's like,
are you sure for sex though? Or does he just want you? Does he just want you to give him some money?
You know what? I don't really know, but I know, assume.
But did he look you? He was seedy then.
Yeah, 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 seedy. It was seedy look.
So you're like, oh, he wants.
It wasn't like, give me your money. Yeah, it was more like, do you want money? I'll pay you. Oh, I think he was offering me money. I think he got money out of his shoe.
Because
I remember he did something with his shoe.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And then I was just like, no. Like, I just kept saying, like, shaking my head and I kept trying to look away.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was an interesting start to the trip. But I think like that trip was probably one of the most adventurous because I ended up going to my friend's island and then it was just really cool to see my friend who's like Chinese grow up in an island.
Yeah, that sounds and so cool.
And he showed me around and me and Rido and like it was just really, really fun to see a new place through my friend's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also the hospitality that you receive from that friend and like family that also plays a big part of the experience as well, because there's something about just being able to purely receive and not just feel bad, but like you're just grateful. You're the guest and you're just grateful.
You as a guest. Yeah.
Yeah. And showing you around. I think that just made the trip so special. And yeah, just having that full hospitality experience is like, wow, like that is really beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just such a great trip. Like just
that's nice.
The cooking and just the experiences and just the
really
chats
pretty,
and stuff.
Like because you're on an island.
Yeah.
The weather's nice.
So I'd say that was my probably most adventurous but also most memorable trip.
Oh
yeah. My gosh. I didn't know you went to Brazil.
Oh my gosh. That's, yeah, so.
And the guns. Oh, that's like.
It's like there was this I always tell this story, but there was like the World Cup at the time.
Oh.
And we were in this really touristy area and my friend oh my God, was it me? I think I was holding a camera case and my friend had the camera case and I had the camera, but yeah, there were some kids with a gun that robbed us. Like that, he just took it off from my hands, like the camera, and he looked like he was, I don't know, just 14 or something. And then his friend came along on the bike with a gun and I was like, shit, that could be a real gun. And then we just ran. And because we ran, there was like, and because the streets were so quiet because people were watching the football, it was daytime, there was like another two older guys, like adult older guys that wanted money. And they're like, oh, do you have any money? What have you got? And then, but I was just still running. So I had ran away. And then my friend threw his empty camera case at them. And then they were kind of like pissed off and they were kind of like cornering him. And I was like, run. Like, oh my God. And then he ran. And then we were like, oh my God, there's like no point telling the police or anything because we just lost a camera, but whatever. Like, honestly, it scared that's me so because
scary.
I had gotten all my shots to go to the Amazon because I wanted to go to the rainforest there. And then I just cancelled that idea because I was too scared to keep going. Like, we just cut out a few places in our itinerary because we're like, oh, I don't know. I just freaked out.
That is freaky. So you were at gunpoint.
Well, not fully like close, but far away, like 10 meters away or something.
Oh my God.
That's scary.
Scary.
That's like, yeah, probably the scariest. And then it was really fun though.
Was it?
It was really great. Like that was probably at the beginning of the trip.
That's how you started your trip.
Part of the, like in the first week. And then we kind of changed our itinerary a bit and still checked out, went to a few different places. It was still fun. But yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, what the hell? I don't know.
It's dangerous. Wow. Like,
yeah. There were like a lot of stories about other things happening as well. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to go too far. I don't know. But it was really fun for that age.
Let's get nourished. So today I brought some cannolis.
Yummy.
Which are, I think, Italian pastries that is in the shape of like a tube, like a toilet roll. I don't know.
Toilet roll.
It's like the size of a toilet roll.
Yeah.
With custard inside. And
what flavors are they?
Chocolate and vanilla.
Mm.
Okay. Here's a quick video of it.
Dessert.
You can pick. We can have pick one. Which one and do then you like swap.
Oh, okay.
We sure. can swap it. So I'll just pick any one now. Oh, no, I'll use this.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been like wanting to eat this.
I've been episode. Looking at it the whole time. I'm like, can't go it's wrong. Good when you know the custard or the cream is like really fresh.
Mm. And the pastry is like crispy.
Mm. Where do you want to go next? Well, you're going to Europe. So what are the places you really want to do in Europe?
I'm doing Spain, Malta, because my friend's getting married there. So that's my destination. And Italy. So those three countries are like my countries at the moment. I might do a fourth, but I'm only there for like 3 weeks. So I don't want to like spend too much time just traveling either. And also next month, I'm going to Melbourne for a month, like for 3 weeks, which I'm excited to do. I'm going to like pretend I live there and be a Melbournean. Maybe we can do an episode on like life in Melbourne.
Yeah, tell me.
Because I think it is really different. Like Melbourne is so different to Sydney. It's like same, but it's so different. And where else? I think I also want to do like a Bali trip or because I've never been to Bali. I want to do like a work from another country for a week or two sort of thing. Maybe by myself or with a friend.
Yeah.
This year. Yeah. So that's sort of like, oh, and do lots of domestic camping and road trip type of things. Yeah.
Cool.
What about
that's
you?
That's a lot of traveling for this year. Malta I've never been to. Sounds cool. Not too much. I haven't been to Bali either, but I don't have plans for that this year. But I'm going to Korea in April for 1 week, Seoul, and then 1 week in Hong Kong to visit family. So it's not really a holiday, but it is kind of a holiday.
When you go visit family, is it your grandparents? Like, who do you go see?
My aunties and uncles and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have any grandparents left. I used to, but yeah. Yeah, like cousins and stuff, and mainly my aunties and uncles. But yeah, I'm definitely closer to some than others, but because there's so many.
Yeah.
But yeah, that should be fun. Because last year I didn't really go anywhere overseas anyway. So yeah, I'm excited.
Guys, if you think that we should go Bali together this year,
yeah, that would be fun.
A comment down below would take it as a sign to book some flights. Because are you able to work remotely for like a week and, you know,
I think I can if I request it. Apply for it. Yeah.
Yeah, we can request it in advance and then.
Yeah, maybe. Could be,
like, do a little yoga. You can record some episodes then. You know, and Bali's not too expensive.
Yeah.
From what I've heard.
And you can do it quite like on a whim if you wanted to. Like, you know.
Well, let's wrap up. Thanks for tuning in. Hope this was interesting. I don't know if we gave a lot of tips, but you can learn from our experiences.
Yeah, our mistakes.
Yeah, like renew your passport, guys. Like, go check now. But yeah, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.